from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you until 10 a.m. this morning. And, man, we got a lot to get to. What a great weekend, man. White Sox coming to town. Giants coming to town. It's like a cavalcade of crappy teams coming to town. Woo. To get their heads beat in by our teams. It's going
to
be
hey,
fun.
I've been trying to catch up on the Giants, and news alert, they've got issues at offensive line.
Stop it.
Even after trying to bolster it in the offseason, they're all banged up. But they do, according to the article I read in The Athletic, they are expected to play their starters for the first half.
Okay.
So we might get ourselves a nice little preview of what it looks like versus starters yeah. in the NFL. And this will probably be our last opportunity for the Texans.
August 17th. This is the last you will probably publicly see of the starters until the opener in Indianapolis on September
This is the date I've been looking for. I had it. I started a whole ad campaign around this date.
Man.
August 17th is when it all goes down.
That's it, man.
And then it won't go down again for another month.
Yeah.
What's the first game?
September the 8th.
Oh, okay. So in a little less than a month.
In 3 weeks and change or whatever it is. Doesn't sound quite as sexy. We'll get to the Giants and the Texans. But, Seth, I don't know. I know the Astros didn't play yesterday, and yet still we wake
up.
Yeah,
it's bogus.
And yet still we wake up.
You guys go on a run and then decide to take a break?
They are in one of those periods right now where it's a bummer when they're not playing at night, you know?
Yeah, like, it was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, we've got Thursday night football, kind of.
Yeah.
I can see a little Drake May action.
Woohoo!
I can relive Jacoby Brissett tearing the heart out of the Texans at times. Jacoby Brissett had one really nice play in that game. Jacoby Brissett just wants to tease you constantly.
Yeah.
With, like, some of the... He makes some incredible plays at times. And you're like, well, this is the guy.
Yeah, man.
This is like Ryan Fitzpatrick plus.
Well, exactly. It's how you stick around for 20 years or whatever it is, you know?
He's a different type of game than Ryan Fitzpatrick, and yet I feel like he will be a guy that's intermittently starting for the next 10 years.
Yeah, for eight different teams. But no Astros game, and yet still, I wake up this morning, and I get to ask you, Seth, and you, Ben, and you, the listener, have you heard the good news? Have you heard the good news?
Did the Mariners lose again?
They did, Seth. You can set your watch
wrong
to
with
it.
Them? It's getting to the point now where I'm like, will you please compete? Will somebody challenge me?
Yeah, man. Yeah. The Mariners lose again to the Tigers. So the Astros are three games up now in the American League West. Three games up. And this is where kind of like the, I don't know, parallel universe or whatever comes in here. But with the White Sox coming to town, we are reminded that it was against the White Sox that the nadir, the rock bottom of this entire Astros season took place. Back on June 18th, 2-0 loss in the first game of a three-game series in Chicago. Framber Valdez pitched very well, but the bats could do nothing that day, and they lose 2-0 to the woeful White Sox, who've only gotten worse since then. And the Astros found themselves that next morning, as Chandler Roan likes to say, they woke up on June 18th or June 19th, whatever it was, and they were 33-40. This is less than 2 months ago, less than two calendar months ago. They were 33-40, 10 games out of first place behind the Seattle Mariners. And since then, the Astros are 32-15. 32-15. If you pick almost any date from like late April on, like any date, the Astros have the best record in baseball. I saw some tweet today that said they've got the best record since like April the 27th, and they were garbage in May too. Like they were,
right.
You know, like that just goes to show you what kind of run they've been on lately.
It goes to show you what kind of a run they've been on, but that also just how horrendously bad everything was in those first couple weeks of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of astounding to the point where I felt like they should have been done in doing tests for radioactivity or something at the ballpark. Historically awful in comparison to the back of the baseball cards of so many of their players on both the pitching and the hitting side of the equation. To be able to pull yourself out from that, it really is. I really feel like as baseball loves to heap praise on the Astros as much as possible, they should get special recognition from the commissioner. they should get a special ceremony or something.
Well, let's finish
to the White House. I don't know.
Let's finish things up first.
They need recognition.
Okay,
for having played this way through 2/3 of the season.
I'll acknowledge them. I don't know if they're getting. Hey, we'll give them an acknowledgement for 32-15 record. Framber pitched that game, and I went back and looked at this because I looked at the box score of that game, that June 18th game, Seth, that they lost 2-0, found themselves 10 games out. Now, it didn't take them these full 2 months to eliminate the 10-game deficit. That only took like 3.5 weeks because the Mariners were so, so bad for June and July, and they're still bad right now, especially against the Tigers. But I went back and looked at the box score of that game, and Framber lost that game 2-0. He pitched really well. And his record after that game was 5-5. And I'm like,
yeah.
If I remember correctly, after looking at the box score of Framber's last start, he only had 5 losses as of a couple of days ago as well. And sure enough, since that game against the White Sox, Framber, 7-0, 2.68 ERA.
Yeah.
And a 6.13 OPS against.
And that's as much about him actually getting some run support as it is anything else. You know,
right.
Other than the one scare we had relatively early in the season where Framber kind of went off the rails.
Yeah.
He went old school Framber.
Yeah.
He just like got nostalgic or something and went away from the game plan. He's been rock steady since then.
Yeah.
This is the one thing that bothers me about the White Sox right now, Sean.
Okay.
For all of the, and hopefully they, you know, can right the wrong of the previous series against them. The White Sox, in all their ineptitude, failed to trade their starting pitcher, Garrett Crochet, at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So tonight, Arrigetti will face Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
It's one of the, like, yeah. Like come on. Like, you can't even do bad right.
Well,
it's making it more difficult for us. Crochet hasn't been as dominant, I don't think, since, you know, when all the hype about him was really at a fever's pitch.
Yeah.
But still, like, they should be facing some jamoke that they just brought up from AA, you idiots.
They should. He kind of screwed them, though. Remember? He's like, well, I'm only going to agree to a trade if I get a new contract. And if I don't get a new contract, I am putting an embargo on my services in the month of October.
He pulled a Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
He sabotaged the trade.
Yeah.
The 49ers supposedly are sitting on a nice little tidy deal that they'd love to execute with the Steelers, and Brandon Ayuk says, nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not quite my porridge temperature.
Yeah. I don't think Ayuk likes training camp. I think that's the genesis of Ayuk's just going to like kind of let this whole thing dangle in the wind until September 1st rolls around. And I'll get in like 3
he likes
practices.
Money, too.
He does.
There's that.
Yeah.
But more so than money. He likes the notion of being one of the highest paid wide receivers.
It
always comes out. If all you liked was money, you wouldn't get so caught up
status.
In being the top paid player and at your position, et cetera, et cetera.
Status.
They've done that. I mean, it factors so much into it.
Yeah.
That's why I would start brainwashing these dudes from the day they were in the building about just keeping perspective
team.
On things.
Team.
Yes.
Team.
Yeah. No. And just like, okay, how much is enough? You know, you're trying to feed your ego, you're trying to feed your family. All right, we got this guaranteed money for you right here,
right
now.
Yep. So other Astros things. So the White Sox coming to town tonight. Man, real opportunity here for the Astros to put some daylight between them and the Mariners. And who knows? Maybe chase a bye in the first round. I'm not into this wild card round thing that the Astros have never had to play in other than the COVID year. So the Astros have the White Sox coming to town. Verlander last night against the Northwest Arkansas Naturals of Double A.
I hate them so much. I hate them.
I've hated them forever.
They're one of my least favorite teams in all of sports.
In all of Double A baseball. So Verlander last night was good. He threw four innings, gave up four hits. Got the numbers right here. Four hits, one earned run, no walks, five strikeouts. And he hit the mid-90s on the gun. When I was driving home last night, I had my little Taqueria Sarandas dinner event with a bunch of folks, and Jeremy Pena was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hobnobbing with the Pena.
Pena, well, fellow spokesperson for Taqueria Sarandas. It was awesome. Food was great. Pena was awesome. A lot of people there. Man, it was a festive time. And it was at one of their locations that has the sports bar in it, too. It was really cool. Get out to an Aranda sports bar today, people.
I bet Pena goes straight paleo when he's at Taqueria.
Yeah, I didn't see what he ate. But there sure are a lot of commercials running on the TV screens.
Yeah.
Like, every TV screen in there was just commercials of Pena on a loop. I had no idea how many commercials he's done for them. Like, how many? But there's one of him that was on a loop of him in the Aranda's bakery, like hand-picking different donuts and danishes and things like that. And I'm like, he does not look like a donut guy, but he probably
is. Nick Casario, I bet.
Maybe a cheat day.
Which is, no, Tex-Mex is awesome for going, you know, as long as you don't load up on all the flour stuff.
And carbs.
Lots of vegetables and protein.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great event last night. So I'm driving home, and I was actually listening to the guys on Area 45. They do an awesome job. I really enjoy listening to Sean and Patrick when I'm driving around at night. 57 pitches for Verlander was the number that jumped out at me last night.
He was supposed to pitch 70 to 75, but in the top of the second inning, the hooks did what they should do.
Yeah.
They shut down and eviscerated the most hated team in all of baseball, the Northwest Arkansas Naturals?
Naturals. I had to look it up too. Yeah, Naturals. I hate these people.
It's called the
so
Natural.
Much. Yeah.
They should go Euro on it and because, you know, there's a very Euro bent in Arkansas and just call it the Natural.
Right.
They scored seven runs in the top of the second.
Ah.
So I think it might as much have been about the rest time that Verlander had, and they didn't want him out there for too long of a total outing.
That makes sense.
Without any news of any kind of tweakage or anything. It looks great.
Yeah.
Just shut down all but one of the hated Natural.
Mid-90s on the gun. That's the big thing for me. Like, what's the velocity looking like? How's he look? And he looked good. The other news item for the Astros, before we close out the open here, and I saw this waking up this morning, Ari Alexander of KPRC, up late doing work. He was, just 5 hours ago. Apparently Shea Whitcomb is getting the call up, according to Ari Alexander.
Baby.
Yeah. Shea Whitcomb, 25 home runs this year in the minor leagues, 903 OPS at Sugar Land. He led the minors in home runs in 2023 with 35 home runs. He already didn't say, and maybe it hasn't been made clear, who's going, you know, what accommodations are being made roster-wise to make room for him. I don't know if this is just a swap out for DeZenzo, where they're like, oh, okay, we've seen what we need to see out of DeZenzo and send him back down. Like, you know, maybe this is like American Idol. Now they're bringing Shea Whitcomb up and just see what sticks. I will say this. Chaz has got to be on thin ice right now. And I know Whitcomb's an infielder and Chaz is an outfielder, and it wouldn't make positional sense to do that. But Chaz is kind of just taking up space right now on this team. And I hate to say that because he's a postseason hero. But we'll see. We'll see what the...
I think, you know what the Astros should start doing? For Chaz specifically, when it's time to send somebody back down, have Dusty come and take the guy out for frozen yogurt.
Oh, banana pudding.
Oh, banana pudding.
Yeah.
Banana pudding.
Yeah.
That'll be like the tap on the shoulder that the British spies get when it's time to go, when it's time to leave the service or get executed. They tap him on the shoulder.
Right.
That'll be what the Astros do. He can be their Turk.
Banana.
He can come and, hey, buddy, let's go get some banana pudding.
Time for some pudding. Yeah,
he's a Grim Reaper.
That would be the coolest Grim Reaper of all time, though. I love banana pudding. You're like, oh, this sucks. I'm not playing baseball for the Astros anymore, but that pudding looks delicious.
Yeah, but it would also be, it would be dusty. He could talk to you about life.
Yeah.
And put things in perspective. Yep. Talk to you a little bit about Camus or something. You
there
know?
You go. There yeah. you go. All right, Texans. Kind of just a walkthrough yesterday, but there are some things from in the building that, if you're going to the game especially, I've got reports on for you. I was there about the time the game would kick off on Saturday. I was there yesterday. And D'Amico asked about the depth on the O-line. Y'all looking for depth on the O-line? Because we heard about this Matthew Judon thing. He was asked about that yesterday. We'll get to the Texans head coach, a little report from yesterday's practice, and that is coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, the rumor was, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, that the Texans inquired about Matthew Judon. Now, that may mean that Nick Caserio is just doing his due diligence and hears somebody's available, makes a phone call, sees what the price is, and then decides to move on. We don't know. And the Texans are not going to answer directly about another player that's not on their team. But can't hurt to try. Jonathan Alexander of the Chronicle asked D'Amico Ryans yesterday, are you looking for depth along the defensive line?
Good football players is what I'm looking for. At whatever the position is, any good football players that can help us, that's what we're looking to continue to add to our team and be as good as possible. For myself and Nick, it's something that we continue to evaluate, right? Our team is never set. So whatever players, right, come up or available, whatever it is, we look into all those situations to see how can we improve our team. That's our job, to improve our team and put the best team together for the Texans, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, again, you hear somebody's available, or you can just observe the situation I mean, Matthew Judon on a bad team, sitting on a sideline at practice or a game, and he's walking off of the field and leaving. You're just leaving. He's agitated with the coach. He's agitated with the GM. So you make a phone call. You have a price in mind. Like, all right, maybe they're just trying to dump him for a day three pick. And you make a phone call and you find out they're looking for more than that. You go, okay, well, we'll move on. I think what made this thing curious to a lot of folks, Seth, is this is arguably the Texans, other than wide receiver, their deepest position on the team is defensive. And granted, with some older guys. I mean, Hunter and Hughes, Autry, who am I missing? Oh, Derek Barnett. I mean, these are all guys that are either in or approaching their 30s, plus Will Anderson. But J.J. Watt on the back burner. Right. But that, I think that's what made the Judon rumor, people kind of like, oh, okay. But D'Amico, and you made the point yesterday, he there's never enough defensive linemen for D'Amico Ryans.
No, I think D'Amico's always on the prowl for defensive linemen. I think that he's going to draft a defensive lineman in the first round at least every few years here in Houston for as long, hopefully like the next, 17, 18 years?
Yes.
And you should also become accustomed to Nick Caserio or the Texans being connected to some of these, because I think Nick is very much like Daryl Morey in that he's a high volume trader. He's always going to be involved and he wants to know exactly what's going on. And you don't necessarily go into it with a plan. It's an opportunity presents itself.
Yep.
That is where, I mean, Daryl Morey's ability to get James Harden was the fact, I mean, it was because he was there for it when a trade that nobody was even anticipating or expecting became available, he was ready to pounce.
Yeah.
And I think that Caserio has that same mindset.
He was ready to pounce, and he had made 15 other little trades to get all the stuff you ended up giving up for James Harden. You know,
right,
like it's a whole sequence of things. But you're absolutely right. Like, that Harden trade kind of came out of nowhere. Question on the text page. Hey, Sean, let's see here. Oh, there it is. Morning, Sean. Hey, was the AC on inside NRG Stadium yesterday during practice? Can you answer that on the air? I will answer that right now, because there's not much to report from yesterday's practice. They are truly treating this week like a game week, up to and including, Seth, they did an in-stadium walkthrough yesterday like they would normally do on a Friday before a Sunday game.
Yeah, except but an even more scaled-down version of it, I think, in terms of speed and everything. So it was a walkthrough.
Yeah, it was a walkthrough. They did some 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 where there was minor effort going on.
Yeah.
It was a walkthrough. And so the only real takeaways, like, put it this way, nobody did anything yesterday as a player to hurt or help their case for making the team. There was nothing they were doing where I think Nick and D'Amico are going to look up and go, oh, okay, well,
what did Davis Mills do?
Metchie made a play. He stood there for a little while in street clothes, and then he walked out of the, he left the field before the practice was over. I'll get to him. Let me answer this question real quick first.
Okay.
The guy asking, was the AC on inside NRG Stadium yesterday during practice? It was. If you're going to the game tomorrow, it was comfortable in there. It was fine. It was more comfortable than it's been in Minute Maid Park this year when I've been there.
Yeah, don't be. I think everybody's freaked out because of the Minute Maid Park experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to mention what it's doing to Blanco at times.
But, yeah. Right.
Would Blanco be comfortable pitching at NRG Stadium yesterday?
Yeah. He'd have been fine.
He looked as dry as my wit there in Tampa.
Yeah.
They got the air. They got the AC. Now they don't have as many human beings adding body heat to the equation.
Well, that's the big. That's what I was just going to say. Is there was only a few hundred people there yesterday, players, staff, and a handful of media, all on the turf where heat rises. So I don't know what it was feeling like up in the upper reaches of the stadium. Down low, it was fine. Now here's what I would tell you: and the Texans had put out a sort of a time lapsed video of yesterday for like the 2 hours in the middle, 2 or 3 hours in the middle of the day, like from noon. I think it was probably like from noon to three, which is when the game's going to take place tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see kind of the sunlight pattern. There's two panels that are the entire width of the stadium that have been blown out. One is over the south end stands, which is the 610 loop end of the stadium. The other is over like the 30-yard line of that end of the stadium. And the sun the sun largely stays on those areas in the middle of the field. I'll just say this. I'll simplify this. If you sit in the south end of the stadium in the lower bowl, then there's a good chance you're going to be sitting in some sun throughout, like a 50-50 chance you'll be sitting in the sun.
I thought they had the trailer tarps pulled over it.
Not yesterday, they didn't. Maybe they will tomorrow. Okay. Yeah, there. I mean, there was definite. If you can go find the video, you can see it. There's now. I don't know. It didn't look like this just brutal sunlight because the rest of the stadium's in shade. It's not like they open the whole roof and everybody's baking.
Right. Know, that's where, and it'll move throughout the day too. So yeah. When you hear the horror stories of back when they used to keep the roof open on a sunny day, that stadium's not built for circulation, for air circulation, obviously. And what would happen was, even though it might feel nice, there'd be certain sections where people would be getting carted out by the paramedics because they would get just ridiculously hot.
Right.
That's one of the reasons they keep the roof closed, even when people are agitating for it to be open. But yeah, I'll have to talk to Cal about that. Cal probably doesn't have the same experience I do with trailer repair. So you know, ad hoc, like, okay, crap, we're not going to be able to get this roof repaired for at least another 6 months.
Yeah.
So just stick a tarp over it.
Probably.
Tarps ain't cheap either. Don't get me wrong. But it's better than getting rained on, you know?
Cal doesn't have experience with it, and yet I feel like he could repair a trailer if he needed to. He feels very handy to me, Cal, you know?
You think so?
Yeah.
He likes to barbecue. I've run into him at Academy as he's buying barbecue supplies. He doesn't like have his assistant go do it or anything. He's very hands-on.
But he likes outdoorsy stuff, you know, like ranch-type stuff. Like, I feel like...
Oh, that's true, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I feel like there's kind of an overlap there of guys who are... able to, you know, as somebody who is the least handy person on earth, maybe I'm just injecting myself into this situation too much, where I feel like every male on the planet is handier than I am,
right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Cal
can screw in a light bulb. That guy is handy.
I think your instincts might be a little off on this. I might be wrong. I might be completely wrong. He might be a survivalist for all I know.
He might be
out there like sleeping on the ground in January in Ottawa.
I didn't say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as guys who didn't practice yesterday, here's the list. Tell me, Seth, which of these guys you were most looking forward to seeing against the Giants tomorrow, who will probably not play because they were, again, working out off to the side. Will Anderson, Christian Harris, Noah Brown, Tim Settle, Charlie Heck, Tegan Katoriano, Ben Skoranek, Denico Autry, Andrew Beck didn't practice yesterday, and then... MJ Stewart. Yeah.
So Christian Harris is the big one, because Christian Harris, like Kamari Lassiter, are two guys with much ballyhoo, and yet we don't know. We haven't actually seen the who there. But I want to see Christian Harris.
All
out there
bally, no who.
Yeah. You're all. That's what we used to say. Right. You're all bally, no who. Very common put down in the NFL.
We need to use that more.
I want to see. I'm excited to see Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah.
And the Giants starters are expected to play in this game for the first half, according to the article I read in The Athletic.
Yep.
I don't know if that includes Malik Nabers or not.
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What's he banged up with?
Foot? Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of important for receivers.
Yeah, it is. He needs
that. Look, the Giants team, they've still got issues at offensive line right now because of injuries. They're shoveling everybody around. The Giants spent the most money in free agency this year.
They did. They spent a lot of money, man.
Yeah, they were a very, very aggressive. I think people get caught up in the Saquon Barkley departure, but part of the reason they did that was because they wanted to put as much talent around Daniel Jones as possible. So this is a team that people are very keen on trying to figure out what's going on with them. Is this going to be the year that all of a sudden Daniel Jones emerges? I would absolutely love to just be a big old needle in their balloon.
Yes.
I'd love to pierce that balloon at your gender reveal party.
I want to
ruin your gender reveal party, damn it.
Yep. Two more bullets I want to make sure we get to here. Joe Mixon yesterday was suited up. He's in a jersey, shorts. You know, he's in everything other than a helmet compared to the rest of the guys. He didn't really do anything. He kind of just stood around, chopped it up with his teammates, walked around to different position groups. Damian Pierce got all the walkthrough reps with the ones, both in 7-on-7 and in 11-on-11. Do we read into that Joe Mixon probably doesn't play tomorrow, or is it, that's just a walkthrough, no big deal?
Yeah, I think that I really don't want him to play. Yeah. For one, I mean, he's a running back. He's not old at all, but by running back standards, he's old, getting up there in years.
Yeah.
And he's familiar with his own running scheme and everything. You'd like him ideally to maybe in a different situation, I might want to see him get some live reps. Right now, more than anything, I want to see Dameon Pierce behind the starting offensive line.
Yes.
And, you know, there's still a part of him where I don't want to make excuses for anything, but as he's trying to really pick up all the nuances of this offense, it's hard for a running back to get the right reads. Sometimes it's harder to make the right reads when guys aren't all on the same page. So there were plays in the game the other night where even Dameon made the wrong read or was too slow to make the read, but it was also a murkier picture in front of him. So even like whether the O-liner is winning or losing, just give me a clearer read on it. And I think he's got his best chance of doing that behind the starting offensive line.
Yeah, they need to evaluate Pierce, right?
Texans worked out an offensive guard yesterday too. By the way,
I saw that.
Yeah, they're I don't know. They're this is going to be a work in progress.
Yeah,
he wouldn't be a starter or replacement for Shaq Mason or anything. But I think for swing interior offensive linemen, the guy that they like most might end up being on another team.
I tried to do a 53-man, or I did do a 53-man roster yesterday for the Houston Press, Seth, and the starting five on the offensive line and Blake Fisher, they're all going to be on the team. After that, like, there could be four new faces that aren't Texans right now as the depth on this offensive line. It's just
the depth.
Yeah, all the guys behind Fisher, basically. So the other thing, Davis Mills, you mentioned this earlier. Davis didn't practice yesterday. He's not practiced much since the Steeler game last Friday. Just a little bit, couple practices. He hasn't even been in uniform, including yesterday. Turns out, according to Aaron Wilson, he's got bruised ribs. But, man, did I enjoy the Minnesota Viking trade speculation yesterday.
Yeah,
that was a whole lot of fun.
We knew it wasn't real and it wasn't going to happen, but it was fun to dream, wasn't it? And actually, though, I think Davis Mills has played well enough that at the beginning of training camp, I kind of thought, like, yeah, let's do the Davis Mills glow-up. Let's get him looking as good as possible out there. Let's, maybe even give him some reps when Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell are out there on the field and Nico Collins, and just really let's have some high-flying acrobatics. But now he's played well enough that I like the potential of him as your viable backup that maybe can come in and go 2-2 if he has to play four games. Case still has the veteran savvy, but the difference in physical skill set right now, you can tell that Case is getting up there in years.
Yeah.
And Davis Mills still brings a lot to the table athletically and now can execute the offense fully in a way that I don't think he could last year.
He's had a better camp this year than he did last year. He's a better football player now than he was last year.
He's a better football player. I mean, like, if I were to look at him as a starter, there's still accuracy issues.
Definitely.
In terms of being consistently accurate, even in these two performances where I've been impressed with him, he's sailed and or just thrown the ball high way more than I'd like. But he's in a system where if he knows what he's doing, guys are going to get open, and it doesn't have to be a picture perfect.
Right, right. No, the bar for him is not week one starter anymore like they were trying to do 2 years ago. Like, the bar is capable backup, and I think he's there. All right, let's get to headlines. We'll hear more from D'Amico Ryans in headlines. Astros White Sox this weekend. We've got a lot of Astros news to get to. And the Rockets, we know what the schedule looks like for the Rockets this coming season. NFL news as well. Let's get into headlines. Coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
And all of our guys who it's their first year here in Houston, I want them to witness and see, you know, what H-Town atmosphere is like. So I'm excited to get back into our stadium. It'll be fun.
Should be a good time tomorrow. First home game of the 2024 campaign preseason. New York Giants come into town. D'Amico Ryans in front of the media yesterday was asked about showing things in the preseason, putting things on film that other teams might be able to see. You know, a lot of teams stay pretty vanilla in the preseason. D'Amico says he's not really concerned about that.
Everything for me about the preseason is getting our guys better. So, you know, whatever guys show in the preseason, we'll have some things we show, some things we don't. But to me, what we've seen... Guys can look back and see what we've done on tape, so it's not that big a deal. I want to see our guys execute at a high level. I'm really not scared of showing things and the opponent seeing what we run at the end of the day, it's about our team, you know, improving and getting better with what we ask them to do and being able to do it. I think in live game situations, that's where it counts most, and that's where you have to see what can guys truly handle, right, when the lights are on. So I'm not opposed to running whatever we need to run to make sure we see what we need to see from our guys. And preseason is a lot about evaluating guys. So, you know, you put guys in situations to see, you know, what can they handle. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, one of the biggest things is just flat out, okay, the guy has flashed in practice, but can I trust him in a game? Because there are guys that are awesome practice players, and they get in a game, and their brain turns to liquid and runs out their ears. I've told you the story before of the first year of the franchise in 2002. We had a linebacker who had 3 sacks in a preseason game. And I can remember reading about it and like looking online and seeing how much everybody was gushing over this guy and how many might have been a gem of the he was an undrafted rookie free agent. He was cut the next day because on those 3 sacks,
oh, yeah,
they were all mental errors where he was supposed to be in coverage, but you're facing a third string quarterback that doesn't have the capacity to exploit that.
Right.
You know, if he'd been doing that against a starter, it would have been 3 touchdowns.
Yes.
So, like that, they couldn't trust that guy, and he would go on to never play in the NFL again.
Yep.
But it was a shame. His nickname was Can't Get Right.
He lived up to it.
That had shown up in practice, but okay, like that was a good example of like, all right, can you trust the guy when the lights come on? There's other guys that are horrendous in practice, but then you see it like, man, when it's for real, they just take it to a different level. Dom Capers used to tell me stories. I used to love to sit and talk to Dom Capers about just guys that he coached through the years, like with the Steelers, or coached Sam Mills with the Panthers. And he said that Kevin Green was the most god-awful practice player you've ever seen.
Hall of Famer Kevin Green?
Yes, Hall of Famer Kevin Green. He said he was a mess in practice. Like, he couldn't beat anybody. But there was just this psycho side to him. And also, he's another one that was really, really good at studying the opponent.
Mm.
And so when he's going against the same guys every day, he's not necessarily like guys that knew what his skill set were. He wasn't able to beat them physically.
Yeah.
But he would scout the hell out of the offensive tackles he was going against, and he knew their weaknesses. And he just showed up in games to the point of being a Hall of Famer. And some of that, you just, I think that goes back to something that Nick and D'Amico talk about a lot, which is keeping an open mind about guys. Mm-hmm. You never want to be too married to your scouting report on a guy.
Yeah.
You can't have such a big ego that everything you see at practice is either confirmation of your scouting report or whatever else. So these game situations especially, you think like, okay, I don't know about this guy in practice, but man, if he shows up and just really flashes every time he shows up in a preseason game, it means something. It means more than the practices. It's all combined, you know, at the end of the day, but the performance in a game really matters more.
Yeah, who was it? I think it was Mike Tomlin that said that, because Russell Wilson didn't play last week and Justin Fields did. That gives him a little bit of a leg up, at least in terms of you know, having some data to go off of. We'll talk more about the Texans at the top of the hour. The six-pack of things that I'm excited to watch tomorrow against the New York Giants. Astros, talked about earlier, they picked up some space in the standings yesterday with the Mariners losing to the Tigers. Astros were off. They're up 3 games now on the Mariners. The White Sox coming to town. Real good opportunity here to put a little daylight between them and the Mariners. Justin Verlander started for the Corpus Christi Hooks last night against the Northwestern Arkansas Naturals. 4 innings pitched, 4 hits, 1 earned run, no walks, 5 strikeouts, only threw 57 pitches. But Seth, as you pointed out earlier, that may have had to do with the fact that the Hooks were taking the Naturals to the woodshed in the second inning. They scored 7 runs, so Verlander sat around for a while last night.
Right, so they probably just didn't want to just have him out there for total time duration of too long.
Yeah.
And it also might have just been that he felt that good and there was no need to push it that night. So far, so good.
Yeah, so far, so good. Yep.
I'm just crossing my fingers and trying not to think about it too much. It's like getting a colonoscopy, waiting for Verlander to return.
Same exact thing.
You know, you're just like, hey, they're going to give me an amnesiatic. You don't remember anything.
I'll be fine. Yeah. I'll be fine. The Rockets' schedule is out for next year. The NBA released their schedule yesterday. Huh?
Sorry, I just wanted to talk about the amnesiac, but we don't need to. Go ahead.
11 national teams.
Afraid people would think I was saying like an anesthetic improperly. No, they give you something. They give you a forget me now.
They knock you the hell out. Pill. Yeah. 11 national TV
games.
They
don't knock you out. They just keep you from remembering it, which I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like. I'm like, well, I just, all right. So you're saying I might be miserable, but I won't remember it. That doesn't help me.
What if they
don't do it for me?
They overdose you on that? Does it mean you don't remember a whole lot of other things too?
Oh God, that'd be awesome. If they could do it selectively.
Yeah, like erasing certain things.
So then I can move forward without the memory of that shame and do the whole thing over again.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. 11 national TV games for the Rockets. Kind of. I mean, 2 TNT, 1 ESPN. Are we counting the 8 NBA TV games as national games? I guess so. The whole nation gets to see them, but they're not like high platform. But that's progress. Hey, man, we're like a year or two removed from the Rockets getting no national TV games at all. They open October 23rd against the Charlotte Hornets. Interesting part of the schedule here, Seth. And we know last year the Rockets were a second half team last year. I am bullish on the Rockets being better than 500. They finished exactly at 500 last year. I am bullish on them being a winning record team this year. Final five games of the year for the Rockets. OKC at home, and then road trip for Golden State, Clippers, Lakers, and then home for the Nuggets. Their last nine games of the season are all against Western Conference teams, and six of those games are on the road. So if they're in the playoff hunt, the league has stacked it at the end of the year for them.
I think when you say you feel good about the Rockets is as much as saying I feel good about Ime Udoka.
Yeah.
You know, like that, okay, I feel like they're positioned for this team with a young core and veteran leadership to just really turn the corner at some point.
Yeah.
That Ime Udoka is the guy to do it. And I trust in Ime, Sean.
I do too.
A tattoo.
They feel like how I feel about the Rockets and what we're saying about the Rockets. I feel like that's exactly what we'd be saying about the Texans if they hadn't beaten the Colts in Week 18. If they missed the playoffs and finished 9-8, like, hey, man, I trust D'Amico. I trust some of the young talent on this team. Now let's go make the playoffs, you know?
In a way, it could have kind of been nicer just in that they wouldn't have had so much praise heaped on them in the offseason, where just they're too much of a darling right now. I don't like it. And they are perhaps a little too much of the hunted. I think there's more players looking at the schedule, more opponents looking at the schedule, thinking like, oh yeah, I've seen a whole lot of CJ Stroud and Stephon Diggs and all these guys all off season. I just go, go show them what it's all about.
I definitely think that's the case for sure. Hey, our baseball talk in that segment is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan. Versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at t-mobile.com/switch. Some NFL news that I want to get into in this next segment. You can cross this guy off the list, Texans. And six-pack of things that we're looking at for the game tomorrow against the New York Giants. That's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.